Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The first 4 hours were simply in a moose-boosh.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
How good.
Your table is ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
Are we ready? I didn't hear it.
He's playing.
Okay. Morning.
Hey, Kevin.
Am I going? Are we going? Am I on?
Oh, we're going.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. What were you bringing up about Ramona Robinson? Our friend is showing up in a movie.
Yes, Ramona Robinson is in this Shooting Stars biopic, which I told you I used to call biopic. I used to just think it was biopic.
Yeah.
No, biopic.
It's biopic.
And it's being filmed right now. The basketball scenes are being filmed at
Where?
Case Western Reserve.
Ooh. Wait, so in their gym?
Yeah, in their basketball gym.
Why wouldn't they film those scenes at St. Vincent St. Mary's?
There's always a reason. There's always a thousand reasons when it comes to where they're going to film anything.
But I want authenticity.
Wait, biopic are we making here?
LeBron James.
Listen, okay. You guys want Michael Bay. I want Ken Burns. I want authenticity.
Yeah, they don't really do that. You're not going to find that in Winning Time where they have the wrong teams scoring the wrong points.
Really?
In movies.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, they don't care. I guess that's how Hollywood's always been. It's just that now people were alive for some of this, so they're like, wait, that's wrong.
They also portrayed Jerry West to be a madman. Isn't he like going to sue him or something like that?
Yeah, but then there are people who are like, that's exactly what a madman would do, exactly how he's overreacting to all this. Either way, this is going to be called Shooting Stars, which is one of my favorite memes, and they redid it for Marcus Smart last night.
That's great.
Anyway, they had asked about a month ago for extras to be involved with this. They were looking for cheerleaders and tumblers. Must be females between the ages of 14 and 22. I don't think that's what Ramona Robinson's doing. Musicians must also be between 14 and 22. Stadium crowd extras can be between 10 and 85 in age. I love that. If you're 87, we do not want you.
Get out of here. 10 and 85 at age?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Ramona's probably not doing that either, right?
Oh, she's an anchor. She's news lady
for it. So she's not a crowd extra.
She's got a serious role in this for probably, 3 seconds.
Because she's a serious person.
Yeah, and this is... Oh, how about this? I hadn't heard this name or seen this name in years. This is based... Shooting Stars is based on a 2009 autobiography of the same name by James and Buzz Bissinger.
Wow.
I haven't heard that name, seen that name. Remember the last time we had heard from him?
He was on Jim Rome show or something.
Do you remember he admitted, there's a huge article, a huge pullout article done on him that was based on his obsession with clothing. He had, correct me if I'm wrong here and look it up, he admitted that he was a shopaholic. And I'm being dead serious.
No kidding.
He had spent, he claims millions of dollars on clothing. And his wife, I think he had a wife, was like, yes, he has this issue. He's been going to therapy for years. He has to shop.
Oh, he's had several wives, Anthony.
Okay. Are you
looking
it?
I'm looking him up right now.
Any of my, because our memory is famously inaccurate on these things. Is my memory at all accurate on this? Did he have a shopping problem? Shopaholism.
It's probably Barry Horowitz, not Buzz Bissinger.
Is it not Buzz Bissinger? Am I totally wrong on this?
Man, I haven't heard that name in years.
My Gucci Addiction by Buzz Bissinger.
Good job. Well thought of there, Tom.
He had items.
On GQ right now.
Yes, so he would go to fashion shows. They started flying him in.
Oh, my God.
Because he spent so much money. They flew him to Milan to a bunch of these fashion shows, and you've heard of buying stuff off the rack. He was buying stuff off the models.
Whoa.
The stuff that you're always like, nobody buys that. He was buying these clothes that were worn on the runway, and Buzz Bissinger, this middle-aged, and now he's got to be... He's got to be close
67,
to 60.
67.
Oh, my God. He's in his 60s, and he's buying the craziest stuff that you've ever seen. We got to have him on the radio to promote Shooting Stars.
This would be great.
We got to have him on. And then forget about talking about LeBron. I want to talk just about his clothing obsession.
Are we going to read the same thing? Go ahead, Owen.
Well, he says, my name is Buzz Bissinger. I'm 58 years old. This was 2014. The best-selling author of Friday Night Lights, father of three, husband. And I am a shopaholic.
Said he spent $638,412.97. Well, you'd really like to round that up to 413, wouldn't you? Between 2010 and 2012.
So,
on expensive clothes.
I don't know if you'd ask if somebody's an alcoholic, do they have a mental illness? But with shopping, you would definitely have no problems asking.
Did he grow up poor?
What is going on in your mind that you cannot stop this?
Did he grow up poor?
We all want nice things at some point. Kenny, you're wearing Duluths, but,
how expensive these pants are?
Right, they are expensive.
They've got a lifetime guarantee.
These were like $59.
Okay. Well, some people would say that's expensive.
It's the last pair of pants you'll ever need.
I mean, I've worn these Duluth Trading Company pants, $59. I've had these 3 years.
So there is no doubt, if I had unlimited budget, and a clothing allowance.
I mean, that's money well spent. That's $59.
Three years? If I had that stuff.
Wow,
now, right now,
a year on pants.
At this stage of my life, I don't think I would be... I'd have some fun at Saks Fifth Avenue. There'd be some items in there that you guys... And it wouldn't be the daring stuff. I wouldn't be taking huge chances. That's not my style. But I would be wearing really expensive jeans, really expensive... I've always bought nice jeans anyway. But I'd step it up a notch, but I couldn't get to that. There's no part of me that has that kind of an interest. So that
spends half a mil on clothes in a day.
Yeah, I mean, it just does, that's not. Now, maybe over time, if I had the money, it is always. I'm really big on this all the time when we talk about whether it's always easy to say, you wouldn't do that. We were talking about Steve Harvey earlier today. You wouldn't be that person. Well, you also don't have access to that ability to do that to somebody. Like,
right.
If you were a jerk. If you were a jerk today and you were going all Ellen DeGeneres, or people say Bill Maher has been tough to work with.
That's tough to imagine.
But nobody's waiting on you hand and foot. So they would just say you're a jerk and they would stop talking to you. We can't do that with some of these celebrities. You can't do that with some of these athletes.
You're both in the public eye, right? And and now can you do it daily? People see you daily now, right? How much do you emphasize not wearing the same thing in a consecutive...
Never. I am who I am.
And I know it's a little different. I'm just looking at people like this that are...
Oh, are you talking about on TV?
Millionaires. Yeah, that type of
thing. Oh, I have a rotation now. I have a rotation.
And you kind of keep some sort of track of how you're... Right?
I have a rotation of the jackets.
I cared a lot more like 10 years ago.
Right.
I'm to the point... I even did one of those games this year on ESPN. I was like, did I wear this last time? I probably did. Who cares?
This is sexism, though. This is the sexism of it, though. A guy did this once.
That was in Ypsilanti.
There was a news anchor who did it on purpose. He wore the same shirt and tie jacket combo every day for like
a whole year.
I think for a whole year.
A whole year.
Just to prove that people don't notice what he's wearing.
No emails.
The women have to change. Like you will have a woman on the news who will wear, if she wears the same dress in a month, someone's going to notice and send something really mean to her.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe, like, I see some of the stuff, like, Samantha Roberts, who is the weather person, the meteorologist over at 19. I've seen some of the things that she has been sent. It's appalling. It is appalling. Jasmine Bailey, who sits right over a catty corner from me, right? Appalling things that I'm just like, how
I
do you
sent
get
her
that?
Two like correspondences.
Like I sit there, like when I said what I said about Eric Church. And I got a couple of really nasty emails just because I, like, listen, I know there's hardcore Eric Church fans. I am not one of them, and I'm thinking, you know what? You said you were going to play a show, play the show. I knew he was going to make up for it in some roundabout way, and I still even like to poke holes in that.
From
and go,
the church choir.
Oh, really? You and your free concert that you're going to have in San Antonio, where they are you going to provide them a free hotel? Are you going to provide some of these people free airfare? And people wanted to poke holes in that, and that's fine. But I knew that going in. Like, I say opinions, and I know that there's going to be people who disagree with those opinions. But it's like, you're a meteorologist. You're a news anchor. I'm like, why would you? I'm like, good God, I can't imagine what it's like for women. I don't want to imagine what it's like for the women.
Yeah, oh, yeah. When I was in Parkersburg, the one anchor there, Lauren, whose future husband threatened me in the parking lot of the news
now
station.
Now we're talking. Now we're going.
For apparently flirting with
Let's
her on
do this.
Air.
Let's do it's this called, show. Let's do this think, show right now.
I think I told her. I think I've told that on the air before. But it's like all because I bantered with her too long on TV. And he sat there and waited for me in his big-ass truck. This is a mean mother, you know what. Like, this guy, I would not mess with him. This was not somebody who I'd talk back to. I was like, this guy would destroy me.
And you talk back to he a
was,
lot of people.
He was a local fireman.
What's he going to do to
you? He was jacked. He was huge.
What was he going to do to you?
And he was just up to no good. And he was kind of a homewrecker. And I guess she was kind of a homewrecker because they both had prior relationships. He'd been married and had kids. Whoa. And just left them behind for this news anchor. They're still together today, which is stunning to me. But he sat there waiting for me, standing tall right by the door. And I had just gotten back from my dinner break in Parkersburg, West Virginia, and she was texting me. She was, like, afraid for my life. She texted me and said, hey, I'm going to talk to him. He is really mad. I don't want to make it a big thing, but you're not allowed to talk to me on TV anymore. She says, I'll take care of him. And by the way, she goes, can you please delete this message?
That is chilling.
I was scared. I don't get scared very often. You know,
I would
in
be
my
scared.
Mouth.
Well,
I was scared of this guy because I knew what had already happened, that he had already left his wife that he had three kids with for this TV anchor. And I'm like, this guy will do anything.
But,
he doesn't care.
But I know
there
listen,
are no rules.
You are at the time you were in your early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
It was a different time. I'm more afraid for her. If she has to send you that and delete that text, That's
I'll tell you some other.
You're living with a crazy person.
Yes,
you're living with a crazy person.
Yeah, totally crazy. Totally crazy.
Yeah, I don't. I can't. I mean, that's just.
Yeah, when you know someone has nothing to lose,
upsetting.
Doesn't care.
They're a firefighter. If you're a firefighter, you have something to lose.
Yeah,
you have a career.
This
is a career.
I knew some other things behind the scenes. Like, this guy did not care. He would throw everything away. He had already thrown things away.
He already
thrown
away something that to most people is one of the most precious things.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Yeah, and now I'm being accused of flirting with her because of why. He doesn't understand the TV biz. Like, it's called banter.
I can imagine you're very good at banter.
You end your sports report, and there's always an energy there. There's always a dynamic there. And with some anchors, you don't have it. But with some, you do. She was like a Miss Ohio before, and all I know is this. She was scared because for her to text me that means that they had already had conversations that had reached the boiling point where she couldn't diffuse it by just not having to have this discussion with me.
He had definitely said something to her, and she blew it off as like, oh, this won't be a deal. Mm-hmm. This won't matter. And then it got to the point where he has never let go of that, right?
No.
And she had probably forgotten that had happened until it was reissued.
And I am never going to forget the fact
that
there was a 2-week span where I was looking over my shoulder a little bit. Whew. That's how, and I, again, normally I dismiss most of you guys, most of the idiots on Twitter that we have fun with or they have fun with us and we get into Baker arguments. I know that 99.9% of them, most of it's in good fun. Some people absolutely hate my guts, but I know they're not going to be waiting for me in the parking lot. This guy, I was worried. I was worried there for a second.
There are people who don't know it's a gag.
Yeah.
And that's always one of the scary things about the show. Well, not scary, but like, I don't know. This is what, there's certain callers I like and certain tweeters I like and stuff. It's like, it's a gag, guys. It's a gag. None of this is serious.
You got to have some fun.
I mean,
right?
Some of it is serious.
It's serious,
depending on what we have to talk about.
This is how we make a living, like, and I'm happy about that. But yeah, you don't.
It's like, you ran me off the show. Yeah, you probably said something silly. And if your buddies heard what you said, they probably disagree with you. And they would probably make fun of you. So just consider me your buddy, and we're making fun of you. Mm-hmm. But that is chilling. Because that's a third person involved. Like, forget about your own personal security. I understand that. But like, there's another person involved. Like, she lives with a crazy person,
mm-hmm.
and like, if I got that sent to me by somebody at a, we know people in Cleveland. Like, I'd have to tell somebody.
We'd have it taken
like,
care of.
I'd
yeah.
have to have yeah. somebody told. In the police community or something, like I'd have to talk to somebody.
But
about
down
that.
There, that's not my town. Right. I don't know who's on his side. I don't yeah. know who he knows. I don't know who in law enforcement he
well,
knows.
Well, and he's in the community
I can't do
already.
That.
He
I
holds
can't.
A community
he's
job.
He's been in the community. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. No chance. No chance at all. I actually, despite the fact you may think everybody hates me here, I do have people who would have my back in Cleveland and take care of that pretty quickly.
Kenny Carmen. Owen Lauterman would, damn it.
We had another person. I'm not going to tell you who
be
or what.
Drinking
that will I'll tell you.
Get it going.
We can't do mics off on the podcast.
No. Tony. I'm going to, how can I write this? I'm going to write this right down for you right now. This guy had to have a private investigator.
Okay.
Guys, this is over takes. This is over opinions. This
what?
Guy who I'm going to show you right there. Right there.
Oh, God.
He had to have a private investigator and somebody who is a Fed have to take care of a situation that was really, really grisly behind the scenes. Because of a crazy person that was threatening him on Instagram and Twitter. It all started with just sports takes. Then it became more, and you knew there had to be some other things behind the scenes, and then found out later there were.
They had to have it dealt with.
They had to have that person's career threatened. Like that. That the Fed had to go to his boss at his workplace and to get him to stop. It was that ugly. This was crazy. Hey, do you have this at Fox? Because at 19, there is a wall. It's not. I'm not joking. It's not a wall of fame as like a joke. Like, this is hilarious. There's a wall of stalkers that is on. There's a list of their mugshots and or. If they
I have not
been
seen
arrested,
it. If there is, I have not seen it.
I bet
there
you by
may
security.
Be.
I bet you by security at Fox. I'm a former intern. I know exactly the security box. I bet you they have a list of faces.
I wouldn't be surprised if they have a binder of some or like, yeah. something oh, yeah. like that. Like,
oh, yeah.
Because I'm sure people show up. Now, there's two gates there, but I'm sure people are like, hey, I'm here for so-and-so. Because they are crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, if I don't bring my card, they will not mm-hmm. let me in. I have to no. park, and I have to call, and I have to call and call. It is the biggest pain in the ass if I forget that card. I will not forget that card. Because they will leave me outside that gate. They don't care.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
They do not care.
Yeah.
Now, I've been there for a few months now, so maybe, but that first week, nope. Don't know who you are, man. And then when I did have to do Friday Night Touchdown, I had the one night, this will humble you, the security person came out, and she thought I was there to deliver the food. That'll humble you. I'm sitting there dressed to the freaking nines, and she's like, okay. Hand it to me. And I'm like, hand what to you? And she's like, the food. I'm like, That'll knock you down a peg
sometimes
or two.
You need that.
Or 10.
There's
oh,
nothing
yeah,
wrong
do.
With that.
You do. You do. There's nothing worse than when people wave to you and then you wave back and they're like, that wasn't waving to you. Oh, boy. That happens all the time at the place I go to that I can't tell you where I go because I don't like talking about it. I will never talk about it on the air, but frankly. And people will be leaving, and they'll wave, and it's always the person behind me. Of course, I met a listener named Steve there. I'm going to put him to the test now. Great guy. I'm not going to say anything more. I don't want to say where like he lives or anything. Great, great, great dude. He's a fellow Italian, such as yourself, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Great dude, and he's like he's the guy who's like, I listen to the podcast. Lima says no one listens. I listen, which a lot of people listen to the podcast. Speaking of. I don't know if you saw some of the responses. I love the responses we got to the student debt thing. We got a big thing about, by the way, we're brought to you by Extend. There's another question to be brought to you about being paid in stock. But the student loan thing, one of the best responses I got so frequently was interest. Get rid of the interest. At some time, you just have to make it 0% interest.
Okay. So,
which I don't know. Can you do that and still carry the loan? Because the company would say, well, I'm not going to still service the loan if it's 0% interest. But if you paid on it for so long.
Right, and you have kind of, I would label them predatory.
Absolutely.
some of the companies that have just, they've enticed, and the schools, it's almost like they made a pact, a secret pact way back when, like at the administrative level, like we are going to loan out, just like in 2000s, we are going to, like mortgage brokers were just, hey, high five, just put out another mortgage that is never going to be paid, adjustable rate. This thing's going to go through the roof, and then it's going to be foreclosed upon. They're doing the same thing for higher education. Look at this kid. This kid, 2.2, and they let him into Ohio State. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
4 years, loan him the money. Oh, and he wants to live off campus that second year? Loan
him
the money.
That was me.
Keep it going.
That was me. And there's nothing worse. There is nothing worse. So I commuted my first semester, and it sucked. Because you make friends in college.
Mm-hmm.
And
but you have to be there.
I got
to
go home.
There on campus.
I got to go home. And it's like, man, that sucked. And I look back at it now, I go, what was I doing? I pissed away so much loan money. I pissed all that money away. Why? Like, I lived in Timbertop, and no offense to anybody who lives in Timbertop, I felt like I was too far away. I felt like I was too far away from campus because everything was happening just south of Exchange Street at the University of Akron. And then, like, that was the apartment I barely spent any time in, and your loan is covering the rent, so you don't even think about it. It was this huge ass apartment, Anthony. It was huge. It was 3 bedrooms. It was really nice. And I barely was there. I was barely there. My roommates, a kid named Tony and my buddy Danny from back home, would make fun of me by how little I was there. Because I never had, they're like, you don't need any, there's no reason. They're like, there's no reason. You don't have any food. You don't have any clothes here. I had a bed. I had a computer. The computer was never on. Because I was
so
either
great.
Working, I was either working or I was at my buddy's houses by campus. That's where I was. And I'm like, man, I'm too far away.
I have told you that my junior year at Ohio State, I lived in a apartment housing complex. We had 8 on one side, 8 on the other. There's 16 of us. And that sounds great in terms of, hey, we're going to make friends. We're like our own fraternity.
No.
This is going to be great. We're going to have so many chicks over. And we're going to have so many parties and keg parties. We did. We had all those things. And we had mayhem around every turn.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was you're always flirting with getting evicted because it's really hard to take any sample size of 8 dudes. Women, you don't have this problem. 8 dudes and make sure that they stay the entire year.
Yeah.
That is really hard. And what happened was we had a revolving door that 1 year where we ended up having over 15 different roommates. Guys
Whoa.
Out. It's almost like a tag team. Hey, I'm in. Tag,
Whoa.
You're in. You got to take it.
The lumberjack match of your apartment.
Yeah, so we now have strangers living with us because we needed the rent. So it's a catch-22. Like, do you want a stranger living with you? No. Do you want the rent? Do you want to get evicted? Are you going to pay for everybody else?
Oh, my God.
No, and I was on loan. I didn't have the money. So we're all like, fine. We didn't even vote. We're like, if you could find someone else to take over the rent. So we did. We had this revolving door.
Ooh,
and we had this kid.
Dangerous.
We had this kid come downstairs, plop his stuff down. Can't remember his name. My buddy Jim would text me in 2 seconds with the name. And we're like, hey, and we wanted to make him feel welcome. Like, let's go out and get drinks, whatever. So we did that over the course of the first few weeks of the winter quarter because we were on quarters. And then he had his TV set up. He had the cable set up. He had all his clothes. Not like he was living out of a box or a suitcase. He had everything in there. He had everything. And then it's like Tuesday of the third week, and I go, does anybody see? I'll just call him Steve. Has anybody seen Steve?
It's probably his real name.
And everyone's like, yeah, I thought I saw him. He had his books and everything, and he was walking to class the other day. We're like, did you see him all weekend? They're like, oh, he must have went home. He doesn't know us, so he didn't really tell us.
It's probably the same Steve I met at the place I go to, and I just don't even know.
Guy.
He's probably stalking you from afar.
But his door wasn't shut, and most of us never really locked our doors all that often. We were all like, hey, there's always someone here. There's always guys here. Like, what do we need to lock the doors?
Yeah.
We're all friends, mostly. And then we didn't see him by Thursday. And then it was the next weekend. And we're like, did somebody call the police? Because nobody's here and his stuff is here. So we called the police. We notified. We called the dude that reached out to him to take over the rent. We're like, oh, yeah, he's from my hometown. I can't get a hold of him. So we called the police. Kenny, he was a wrestler on the side.
Okay.
Like, trying to do, like, small, what
pro
do you call
pro wrestling?
It? Yeah, he was trying to do pro wrestling.
Indies and stuff.
Yeah,
the indies.
And, you know, he didn't have a website back then or anything.
Wow.
So we thought, okay, he's just traveling now.
Yeah.
With
he's on the road.
He might be on the road.
With the Midnight Express.
And he was doing it part-time.
He's in a territory. He's in Mid-Atlantic.
He's at the Mapleton Gym tonight.
I was worried that he lost a lose-or-leave-town match at Columbus, and he
oh,
literally
no!
had to leave town.
That is fantastic.
So we don't know what's going on with this dude. We called the police. The police came through. They took a statement. They tried to notify, like, Kenny, when I tell you that he never came back to get his stuff.
You don't know if he's alive?
We don't know what happened to him. Eventually, we had to put a Craigslist posting up for his apartment.
Eventually, you just lost interest.
We just took over his clothes.
Oh, my gosh.
Nobody ever came for him. No, we have no idea what happened to him. That is I swear to God, God's honest truth, we never figured out what happened to this dude. He was living in the smallest apartment that we had. He didn't have that much stuff.
Yeah.
But that stuff was just left there, and we rented out the apartment to somebody else, so I think moved his stuff to the side.
Wow.
And in case he ever came, and we don't know whatever happened. I swear to God, we had just a missing person.
That is crazy.
That is 100% true.
That is the craziest thing I've ever seen. I lived at Timbertop off campus, and that was whatever. And then I lived right on Brown Street, right down the street from the University of Akron. That was with one of my best friends. He was my best man at my wedding, Brett. Now, that was a great time. That was a great time. Brett was a ball player, and boy, a lot of people would come through. A lot of women would come through, I'll say that. And that was a lot of fun a lot of fun for me. It was a lot of fun for Brett. I always had like a girlfriend. I was like, hey, you come over, we'll hang out.
You couldn't do anything with Brett and his...
No, he had a revolving door, and I had it was always like, hi, how are you? Like, I was seeing this girl at OU at first. I'm like, hi, how are you? You don't know? Like that type of thing. And then I started dating a girl that was at school. And so we were just always...
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like Dead Man on Campus where that psycho guy's there and he meets a girlfriend and he's just like obsessed with her. But we were just doing our own thing. And then we broke up and I was like, Brett, can we hang out? Can we hang out? I'm lonely and sad. And Brett's like, yeah, as long as you don't get in the way.
You
like,
can understand.
That's one of them deals.
Now, I don't know how it was at Akron, but you can certainly understand. Because I was just talking to one of my best friends about this the other day. I always revisit, should we have joined a frat? Because we didn't.
I didn't want to.
So our thing was that
we
had so many guy friends. Like, what? We have our own fraternity. And then I realized, yeah, but we're hanging out with the same girls. And we're not meeting new ones. And if you're in a frat, it is set up for you. You have to be an idiot. The mixers that are set up with the different
sororities.
Please
be careful of what you're talking about here.
Mean?
Okay, I'm just making sure.
What do you mean?
I know guys want to meet girls, and that's okay. But
yes.
Just, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because there is a bad connotation anymore with fraternities. You understand that?
Yeah, but I think there's a lot of good, too, with fraternities.
Okay.
I mean, the fraternities take care of their own, too, in the real world.
That's true.
They take care of you,
that's true.
And there is a bond. But we didn't have, I didn't have the money.
I always like watching the sorority videos, by the way. I almost called them tapes.
I just watched.
Sounds so greasy when they do the
welcome. Girls
I just
wild.
Saw the TCU one the other day.
Oh my God.
I couldn't understand one word. It wasn't even a gag at this point. I couldn't understand one word any of the women were saying. But all I'm saying is about the fraternity life is I look back and I'm like, man, we hung out with the same guys. A lot of them ended up just working and dropping out of college because Columbus, there's so much to do. And if you start bartending, that becomes way more appealing. You have so much money in your pocket. You're not thinking the long game.
You get money.
You're thinking the short. I hate to say it, but let's be honest. If you are bartending, you're hanging out with other bartenders, you're getting laid a ton. You're staying up till 5 in the morning. College goes right out the window. And I had friends that never recovered from that. They had the best 4 years of their life, but boy, did they pay for it down the road. It took them a long time afterwards to find something stable. And so I always have these weird regrets about my college experience because I was working. I was in student radio, student TV, newspaper, covering sports, covering pop. Like, I had a radio show. We were doing stuff every day while my buddies were just messing around, doing nothing.
Jesus.
Every day. Every day. They were just going to lunch,
now, were
getting
these guys
drinks,
in?
And then drinking all day.
Ooh. Well, that can catch
And you
up
get
with you.
Sucked into that world, and now you have
that
guys that take 7 to 8 years to graduate Ohio State. And I am convinced that that is part of the deal at Ohio State. And schools like that. I mean, it's everywhere. But if you're at OU, there's no one to hang out with over the summer. It's kind of sad and lonely. Ohio State, it's a city. You're in Columbus, Ohio. I understand staying there 7 years to get your degree and doing everything but going to school.
So that's true. So when I went to – we did not talk about what you wanted to talk about in this podcast.
That's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah, we always punt it to next
but
week.
When I went down to OU, OU is OU.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's exactly what you said. It's like, yeah, you stay there for the weekend, you get the hell out of there. It's time to go back to school. It's a beautiful place, but
it
I'm not.
Beautiful.
I wasn't there to see the foliage. Okay, Kent State, you're close enough to home. Mm-hmm. Akron, obviously, you're close enough to home. Just where we're from. Oh, when I would go to Ohio State, I didn't go to Ohio State that many times. I went to Ohio State probably 8 times, 9 times, somewhere in there. Wasn't that many times. It was intoxicating.
It was mayhem, Ken.
It was just Sunday night, hungover. Like, God, I have a hangover on Sunday night, and I got to drive back up 71 and get back to school for Monday. Like, it was – that was a rough one. So I could see why,
Kenny,
when you're saying
first,
that.
My first –
because that's a – I mean, Akron's not a small, small, small school. Nothing compare. I've never been anywhere that compares to the size of Ohio State.
You're right about that.
You got
to remember, like, college in general, wherever you end up visiting or whatever, if you're a senior in high school, I'll just never forget the first time I went down to Ohio State. Think about all the rules that you have in high school and everything. And then all of a sudden, you go down to Columbus. My buddies that are all freshmen are there, and they're like, hey, we're going to bring a bunch of pennies. What am I going to do with pennies? Oh, it's penny draft night. Wait. Penny draft? Okay. And you just start. I just kind of gotten into drinking, you know, over the last year.
Penny drafts.
And we go down, and it's penny drafts. Literally, as many pennies as you have till the kegs run out, you get penny drafts. And I'm like, this is changing. And so you can imagine a young Anthony, 17 years old, 18 years old, comes back to West Geauga High School, who had just had penny drafts with girls draped around you, hanging out with freshmen in college.
You can smell the Stetson on them.
You think a teacher is going to be able to have any rule of law in high school after you've been exposed to that?
Yeah, that's a good point.
It changed everything. I'll never forget that. When I say mayhem, it was mayhem.
The closest I ever came to going to a fraternity, I was... I got really good grades. And what was it? What? I keep wanting to say Sigma Nu, and it wasn't Sigma Nu. There was one. They sent me a letter. And it was, like, close. I remember it was, like, across the street from the one parking garage. Ah, damn it. I forget. It was right off. This is a terrible story I'm telling right now. It was right by the jar. It was, like, right by the jar. There was a sorority right by the jar, and then catty corner to that, there was their house. And I got a letter, and I'm like, no, I'm not interested. But my buddies, I lived in, so just before I moved to Timbertop, my buddies lived in on Sherman Street in Akron. I know you don't know any of this, but anybody familiar with the geography, it's very close to campus. And they lived there, and I also worked for facilities. And there was these two guys named Nick. They were great. One was, I remember the last name of the one. I have no problem saying it because he was such a great guy. His name was Nick Zeros.
Okay.
Last name started with an X. Great dude. So nice to me. I don't know what happened to him. I hope he's doing really well. Great dude. And there was another guy named Nick, and he was a great dude. And we would work, and I was you know, respectful and nice on stuff. And they were like, hey, why don't you check it out? And you come on by and check it out? Because they were in Lambda Chi.
Okay.
And it was like, okay, maybe I do. And my one buddy, Greg, he was going to go, and the night he went to go do it, he's like, come on. And I mean, this is so embarrassing. Like, we went over there, like, we were in the car, and I'm like, I'm not going in there. There was just some, my other buddies started really good. Ken, $300, you're going to pay for your friends. My other buddy's like, you're going to pay for your friends.
That's what my buddies would say, too.
You're going to do that. Yep. You're going to pay I remember it was $300 a semester. I think that's what the price was. You're going to pay for your friends, Ken? That's what you're going to do? And I'm like, no. And Greg's like, come on. It'll be fun. And I'm like, no. And Greg joined. Greg had a blast.
It's like a little country club, own country club in college.
And then because I knew he was having a good time, but I was having a good time with my other buddies.
Yeah.
I also had a good time ripping him because I found his thing of songs or whatever they do. And I came downstairs hammered. I'm reading them and I'm keeping them away from him and stuff like that. They were great. So I wasn't necessarily like 100% opposed to it. But my buddies just kept making fun of me. Like, really? You're going to do
so
that?
All right,
peer pressure.
So you were peer pressured out of it. Yeah. Some people are
peer pressured into everything.
It.
I'm peer pressured in and out of everything. So... But I never did. But that was fun. College was fun. Good times. All right. Are we done?
I think so.
Are we ever going to talk about taking stock as payment?
We're going to do that. The Phil Mickelson gambling stuff. Since we ended up with Bissinger and his addiction, next time we're going to get to Phil Mickelson. We're just going to be an addiction show from here on out. That's all we're going to do from this point forward.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
Why not? We're tackling all the things that no one else has the courage to tackle.
Are we going to do a pornography addiction?
I know somebody with a food addiction that we absolutely have to get to.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.